Appreciate the fact, and again, we do appreciate our veterans, and thank you for your service, all that you have done, and we do have several here. Before we go farther, could we recognize our veterans and ask you to please stand? Come on, you guys. Thank you. Thank you for your service, for sure. You may be seated. My history buff up there, he sent me a text, Blake, and he said that just a known fact, since it's Veterans Day tomorrow, we're celebrating that today. 100 years ago today, the agreement was made to end World War I. So we're certainly thankful for the fact that our country has fought and has principles, and we may have our differences today, politically and throughout everything, but God still blessed us with a great and wonderful country, and I'm proud to be an American, aren't you? No doubt, proud to be an American. Before we get into Acts chapter 19, let me say that down in the fellowship hall, it's good to have Sister Ford with us this morning. We thank you so much for being here. And she's going to give us a little presentation somewhere during the time when we're eating. So when that time comes, y'all give attention to her, and she's going to share with us some things that I think will be interesting. So we appreciate she being here today. So thank you, sis, for being here. Acts chapter 19. And certainly I thought earlier in the week as we began to look ahead and read, I guess, when Paul continues his journey, this being the third missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. And at the end last week, didn't have a lot of time, but we did mention Apollos. And as he was converted, well, he had believed, but didn't know and understand that Jesus had come and been crucified and resurrected, and that the Holy Spirit had fallen. He was still basically preaching John the Baptist to believe and repent, and didn't really understand the fact that the Spirit of God was now inhabiting our being. Us being spiritual creatures, we are. We know that the Gospel of John tells us if we're going to worship God because God is a spirit, we must worship Him in the spirit and in the truth. So that's why as we began in our study on the day of Pentecost earlier in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit fell down upon the believers there and that great event happened, it was a time of a new beginning for the church and for the preaching that was about to go on. And we're spiritual creatures today. And when we come in here and we're really going to give God praise, it's of no avail if we don't possess the Holy Spirit. We must be born again, and we must possess the Holy Spirit. And when we're born again, we receive the Holy Spirit. And that allows us to connect with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is that third part of the Trinity that allows us that connection with God here. One day, we will see Him face to face. We will be there, and the Trinity will be united in heaven on the throne. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All the saints of God will be gathered, and we will have a reunion. What a day. What a day that's going to be. But while we're here, God has set it up to the point that we can connect with Him because the Spirit has inspired the Word of God. God's ordained it, and it has survived persecution, ridicule. It has been burned. Multiple millions of copies have been burned and trying to do away with thus saith God's Word. But the Spirit placed His seal of approval on the Word of God, and now we possess it today in our beings, in our midst. And I'm thankful that it should be in our beings. We should read it, we should live it, and we should tell it. Right? How important, thus saith the Word of... And I didn't intend to get into all that introduction, but anyway, there it is. So let's read in Acts chapter 19... And then we'll go farther and ask for your help through prayers that we might be able to share the things that the Lord's placed upon our heart this morning. And I want you to listen to this dialogue that Paul's having. It's very important. And we sort of titled this message out on the sign when we put it out there, "There is a Holy Spirit." There is a Holy Spirit. So listen. "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. He said unto them, 'Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?' And they said unto him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost.' And he said unto them, 'What then were ye baptized?' And they said, 'Unto John's baptism.' Then Paul said, 'John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, and that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your word, thankful for the Holy Spirit for coming and dwelling in our midst today. And now we ask that you'd please again inhabit our praise. Allow us to be able to learn from your word and take these things and apply these principles to our hearts and our lives, that we may live for you and tell others about you, Lord Jesus. All this we ask in your precious name. Amen. So I thought about it as it says there, the Holy Spirit in me. The Holy Spirit in me. So what we're going to do this morning, we're going to leave that text sort of the way we've been doing, going through verse by verse, and we're going to concentrate on the Holy Spirit this morning, because we feel that's where we're at in this text. And can you imagine the Apostle Paul? He's coming up and he has been preaching now for some time, and he says, "Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit?" And they said, "We've never even heard of it. What is it? What was you baptized in?" "Well, we were baptized in the baptism of John of repentance, but we didn't really understand what happened on the day of Pentecost." So remember, if you go back, and those of you that were here and you remember the maps, as we mapped out the journeys of Paul and all the other compadres that were with him during this time from Jerusalem, and when the Holy Spirit fell, all the way up to Ephesus where he is now, it's a long way. So remember what we've said. They didn't have texting. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have AT&T. They didn't have all this. So it was word of mouth. And as they traveled, they began to tell others what was going on in different regions. So these guys never had heard about the fact that the Holy Spirit fell and great things happened. Same way in our world today. A lot of people don't even know who Jesus is. They don't even know that we come every Sunday and we worship the Lord in the Spirit and in the truth. They don't know about it. So Paul began to declare to them and tell them. So I'd like to take just a few minutes today to let's refresh our minds and remember the functions or the teachings of the Word of God about He. It's a He. It's a Him. The Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And He's allowed that third part of the Trinity to dwell in our hearts today and lead us and guide us. So we're going to talk about those things. So all who have truly believed in Jesus Christ have received the Holy Spirit. As you look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit that Paul lays out to the Corinthians, the last one that's mentioned there is the manifestation of the Spirit that all have. So if we're born again, and I understand that in this text, a lot of people have taken it to believe that there's two steps of grace, But remember, Paul's referring to the fact that you don't have the Holy Spirit, so we're going to lay hands on you and you're going to receive it like they did on Pentecost. Remember the other time that it happened? So now, there's not two steps of grace. And you get that second step when you receive the Holy Spirit. But when you're saved, that you have that embodiment, that spiritual being living on the inside of us. And you can either feed Him or you can choke Him. You can quench it if you so desire. So let's feed the Holy Spirit in our heart and life today. Allow Him to be full and free in our being. Okay? So all who have truly believed have and possess the Holy Spirit. So look what Paul's saying to the Romans. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. So if you're a Christian today, Spirit of God needs to be in the midst. And we don't have enough time to go in to say, well, how do I know that I have the Holy Spirit? If you go to Galatians chapter 5 and read toward the end of the chapter there, Paul is teaching two different categories. One is about the works of the flesh, and one is about the gifts of the Holy, or the fruits of the Holy Spirit. If you possess some of those fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, all these things, if you possess those things in your being, then it may be evident as a Christian that you have possession of the Holy Spirit. I know that even you don't even have to be a Christian to possess those beings. But in that spiritual sense, that love, there is no love like the love of God. Once God's love comes into our heart and life and we begin to love others, there's a different capacity of love there than before you receive Christ. And we only have that as Christians. So I love Him, don't you? And I love you today. And I couldn't do that. I couldn't say that before I became a Christian. So the Spirit of God dwells in us. Now, if anyone have not, we're none of His. So Jesus, in John's Gospel, said these words. In John 14, 16, He said, I will pray the Father, because I'm going away. When I go away, He will give another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. That's the Holy Spirit. Whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit. So the power of the Holy Spirit is seen in the word dwell. Remember, you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit dwells within the believer. He makes His home, takes up residence, lives within our hearts, just as we live in our homes, in our own lives. He exalts Jesus. So there's some things that we want to learn about the Holy Spirit. He always will exalt Jesus in our hearts and lives. Always. The Spirit's mission has come that we might deeply be impressed with the person of Jesus Christ. I love Jesus, don't you? Thank Him for what He did for us, and we should love Him. He should be the emphasis on our being here today, to uplift and exalt Him. And that's what the Spirit wants us to do today. So look what He says. Jesus says when He comes, He will tell you things to come, and He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. He will glorify Me. The Holy Spirit convicts us. So He's here to help us to exalt Jesus. And He also is here to correct us. Right? Y'all ever received any correction? Y'all know what the woodshed is? This generation may not know a whole lot about that, but I'm sure your generation does. You know about that. The Holy Spirit comes, and one of His functions is to keep Jeff in line. And He does that through that bad sense, that sense of feeling that's on the inside of me, that knows when I say something dumb, when I do something that I should not, and I feel bad about it. You say, well, that's just your conscience, preacher. I understand the spirit works within the conscience, that spirit that's within our man, our being. He begins to probe, and the truth there is inserted, and we begin to know a few things. When I was lost, I didn't know John 3:16. The place that I worked, I'd go into the bathroom and it'd be John 3:16 on the wall. I didn't know what that was. I didn't. And I sure wasn't going to go touch a Bible and look it up. That's just the way I came up through high school. But I sure am glad I know it now. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Glad I have eternal life, don't you? It's the Spirit's mission to convict us in three areas. When He comes, the Spirit of truth, when He comes, He will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin because they do not believe, because of unbelief. About righteousness because I am going to the Father and you will no longer see me. And about judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. And understand this, that it is appointed unto men once to die. And after what? After that? The judgment. We will all go before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if you're a Christian, you will not go before the great white throne judgment. There is two judgments that's mentioned in the Bible. Basically three, if you count that one, the prince of this world has been judged. The devil already has been sealed. His destination sealed. His plan has been sealed by God. And I'm thankful that today, I'll get to that, our destination is sealed too. Amen. So, think about it. He gives us an awkward sense of sin, particularly it's that faith, that measure of faith that every one of us has the capacity to believe in Jesus Christ, believe in God the Father. We have that. We possess that. A lot of people say they're unbelievers, but they possess everything that you and I do to be able to believe in God. They just choose to reject Him, so therefore they're in the category of unbelievers. But the Spirit of God is coming to probe in their spirit, in their being, and knock gently at their hearts. So He wants to affirm us the righteousness of Jesus and call on us to look to Him alone for salvation. There is no other name. There is no other way to make it to heaven than through Jesus. The Spirit comes to usher us into an acknowledgement that judgment has already been passed on the evil one and that one day we will also face judgment. Correct? He comes to regenerate us. Remember the story of Nicodemus? Ye must be born again. Now look at this. In Titus chapter 3, verse number 4 through 7. According to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. He's come to regenerate us. I'm thankful that I've been saved. We call it being saved, born again, regenerated. So some commentaries that mention that regeneration called spiritually reborn, rebirth, producing a new beginning, a new birth beginning, a new life, renewal of moral and spiritual nature, the rebirth of the human spirit, the radical spiritual change in which God brings an individual from the condition of spiritual defeat. So these are quotations from some commentaries. Just wanted to bring those up. Another thing the Holy Spirit does is lives in us. That regeneration is how we connect with the Spirit of God. Once we're born again, remember what He told Nicodemus? You must be born again. Well, how can I do that? Do I go back to the mother's womb? No. It's through belief, through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And once that happens, there's a spiritual regeneration that takes place and the Spirit of God comes to live in us and we're new creatures. Old things have passed away and behold, all things are become new. And He lives in us at that point. He says, you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. And then we're sealed. And it's sort of like a promise that God has made to us. The Holy Spirit has sealed us to the point that He's told us that we will receive what has been promised. Right? When you go to the bank and you make a deposit and they say that you're going to make, I think savings accounts now is probably 0.5% if it's that much. Not very much. You know, you might have an IRA that possibly might make 4 to 8%, according on how the market's going. But that's a promise that if everything goes accordingly, that you will receive that principle. God has promised us through the Holy Spirit and sealed us to the point that He will do what He said He would do and give us an eternal home in heaven. Look what it says. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also ye have believed, that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. That's the interest. So in other words, that's a promise that He's made to us, earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. One of these days, that redemption is going to be redeemed eternally. Amen. Jesus, that's why we can say, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. I have been redeemed. Amen. Sort of excites me a little bit. Thank God I'm redeemed and been sealed with the Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit is God's seal on His people. His claim on us as His very own. The Greek word translated earnest in these passages is arabon, which means a pledge, that is part of the purchase money or property given in advance as security for the rest. One of these days, the Holy Spirit's given to believers as a first installment to assure us that full inheritance as the children of God will be delivered. The Holy Spirit is given to us to confirm to us that we belong to God, who grants to us His Spirit as a gift, just as grace and faith are gifts. Okay? Ye are saved by grace through faith. Not because you can do it yourself, but only because it's God's gift. It's not because you've worked for it. Because if you could work for it, you'd boast about it. Right? Well, look what I did. I can't take any credit. Neither can you. It's all because of God's grace. Amen. A lot of people are trying to work their way in, but they'll never make it. We are His workmanship, created unto good works. That's what Paul said. Why do I work? Because I'm saved. Did I get saved because of my works? Absolutely not. But I'm working because He loves me and I love Him and I want to do something for Him. Okay? He guides us. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He guides us away from sin through prayer, our powerful communication. That's a tool that God has given us to enable us to hear from God. That causes us to be able to be led by the Spirit. The lust of the flesh includes all sins that would have the following earthly desires. Galatians 5, what does it say? Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Holy Spirit prompts us to worship. I hope that it's because we have that desire, that urge on Sunday mornings to get up and come to God's house, to honor Him for regenerating my soul and my being and offering me life eternal forever so that I can avoid the pits and the depths of hell. I want to come on Sundays to worship Him because I'm redeemed, there again, and honor Him. And that's on the inside of me. So now if I'm sinning through the week, and I'm doing bad things, then probably I'm not going to have the urge to get up and come to church on Sunday because I know that He will convict me. Right? So therefore we run and we avoid having to go through these times. But if we're truly saved and we're thankful for it, oh, we ought to come to honor Him and give honor and glory only to Jesus. And the Spirit will prompt us to do that. There's a time to be quiet. Look what it says, be still and know that I'm God. Oh, I love those times. He empowers us to witness. There's a balance between the worship of the Lord and the work of the Lord. We've already sort of went over that. But the Spirit's task is to instill strength to us to allow us to do His work. He will empower us. To establish and extend the church, there must be an empowering of God's Holy Spirit. He enables us to understand and apply what is taught in the Word of God. So look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. How did we get the Bible? Somebody wrote the Bible. Who inspired it? Holy Spirit. Why is it for? What's it for? It's God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. It's just an old, outdated book to most of this world. But unto us which are saved, you know what Paul said? It is the power of God unto salvation. My, what a book. My, what a book. I love it today. The Holy Spirit will give life to our mortal bodies. Amen? That one's yet to come. One of these days, this body is going to be dissolved. And I want you to understand what Paul said. He said, we have another building, eternal in the heavens. I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? What a day. If Christ is in you, the body is dead, and because of sin, y'all remember why we celebrate Easter? And what significance does that have to us? Why did Jesus die? Not just to be our redeeming Savior, but it also is another promise that one day when we go to the grave, that when we die and we breathe the last breath, that we have the promise that we too can be resurrected. Ooh, what a day. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, the spirit of life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of Him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Amen. You will die a spiritual death. But even though we die a physical death, we do not have to die an eternal spiritual death. Why? But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we can say, Abba, Father. Oh, my Father. As we pray and we cry, Holy Father, Heavenly Father, He's my Father. And then lastly, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Quench the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by Him for the day of redemption. So because of that, let all bitterness and anger and wrath and shouting and slander be removed from you along with all malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as God also forgave you in Christ. Powerful, powerful words. Let me read you an excerpt from C.H. Spurgeon's sermon on August the 7th, 1862. That was just a couple of days ago. And he had an understanding about some of the struggles that we go through as Christians about how to deal with the spiritual struggles of a Christian. Now, I want you to listen. We're going to read a couple of paragraphs. So hang with me just for a second, okay? This was in his sermon. He said certain sins, talking about grieving the Holy Spirit, certain sins against the Holy Ghost continually exist in a degree in the Christian church. Unholiness of life grieves the Holy Spirit. When Christian men walk not according to the gospel, when their conversation is not ordered according to the pattern of Christ, then the Holy Spirit, who hath no fellowship with unholiness, withdraweth himself in a measure from the church. That's why sometimes when we know we're not doing things we should, we don't have that desire to come worship or work or read or pray, because the Spirit's backing up and giving us space. Who do you want to feed? Who do you want to be the dominant spiritual being in your heart and life? Because remember, we have a spirit. And there's also a spirit world out here. And we can allow that evil to come and dominate. That's why there's mass murders and all these things happen. It's not just all by chance. Because we have two forces pulling against each other. As Christians, we're the only thing holding this thing together. So allow the Spirit of God to come into your heart. He who has no fellowship with unholiness, withdrawing himself, the Spirit of God, from a measure of the church. Discord too, strife among brethren, forgetfulness of the new commandment, that we love one another, grieveth the sacred dove. For as his nature is peaceable, and his office is to the peace giver, so he tarrieth not where there is a din and noise of contending parties. The Holy Spirit's just not going to be in the midst of all that. So also, when he perceiveth his saints to be diseased with worldliness, when we prefer the treasures of Egypt to the reproach of Christ, and seek rather the things which are seen, which are temporal, than the things which are not seen, which are eternal, then again is the Holy Ghost quenched and departeth from our midst. Above all, pride, and that murmuring, rebellion, unbelief, obstinacy, and self-seeking, which pride leads to, all this grieveth the Holy Ghost. For he dwelleth with those who are humble and of a contrite spirit. And where there is the voice of murmuring, where one man seeketh to lift himself above another and to exalt themselves above their despised Lord, the Holy Ghost hideth himself and suffereth barrenness to take the place of plenty and death to reign where once life triumphed. Can I just go ahead and say, C.H. Haddon's explanation of this is probably the whole reason we have so much deadness in our churches across this world. Why we have less power and as we continue to go, because we live in such a blessed culture, it chokes that spiritual being out of our life. Our blessedness is corrupting us. Let's get back to the point of knowing that we're blessed. If you go, Brooke was talking last night about being in a third world country, it's a totally different atmosphere than the way we are today. If you've never been there, then we don't really know how to comprehend it. All we know is what we know. We're blessed to live in the great state of Alabama. God has blessed us. And because we're so blessed, sometimes we don't really realize our... Look at the Church of Laodicea. So please, God, help me, help Peyton, and all the worshipers at Peyton today, to let's put aside the fact that we're so blessed and we have so much And let's get back to the very basics and let's just honor Jesus. What's the solution for the problems of this world? Jesus. Because when we allow Him to triumph in our life, He will come and He will dwell in us and He will, like an artesian well, He will begin to overflow. And when He does that, then other people are going to know that you're real. And they might want to know who your Jesus, who your God is. I love Him, don't you? These are a few of the common and constant infirmities of the church, by which the Holy Ghost is much hindered in those marvelous manifestations which otherwise would be common and usual in the midst of our Israel. From the words of C.H. Spurgeon. Just a few words there that we wanted to share because of Paul's words. Have you received the Holy Spirit? We haven't even heard of Him. What are you talking about? I think a lot of people in the church live as if they've never heard of the possession and the leading and the guidance and the conviction and the quenching and the grieving of the Holy Spirit. I love Him, don't you? I love you and I appreciate you for being here. Come on, Brother Rick, let's sing a verse. And certainly today, we ask, if you need to pray, that you'd come. Talk to our Lord, because He always has an ear to listen and to hear while we stand.